Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and another great show for you. A very, very good Monday. Second hour, Jason Everett will be here. We're going to talk about chastity. If you have questions about raising your children in a chaste way, maybe you have questions about why or why not. But primarily, actually, we're going to focus on the gender stuff with Jason today. He always is willing to talk about chastity, but I misspoke there. We're going to talk about gender, the new kind of gender movement that's going on, how it's affecting folks, what's going on around there. And you can call and ask your questions. Everybody knows Jason Everett. You know he's got a competent answer every time. So we'll look forward to that second hour. First hour, really one of our favorite people, Rylene Simpson. And we're going to talk about accompanying those with same-sex attraction this hour. So if you are in that boat, maybe there's someone in the family that you'd like to do a better job of dealing with. Maybe you yourself are struggling in this area or just in need of some getting some questions answered, 888-318-7884. A born and raised Catholic, Rylene Simpson lived in the gay and lesbian life for more than 30 years, had a female partner for 25 years, came back to the faith in 2009. She's now a Courage member, a moderator of an Encourage support group. We'll talk about both of those things. She was one of the three people profiled in the movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills. Rylene Simpson, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Cy. Thank you for having me.
Did you see all those guys working on the cameras here before we came on the air?
Now
they've put a camera between me and you. I can't see you at all. Hey, Rylene, how's it going? Can you see me now?
I can't make eye contact with you now.
thanks very, very much for doing this with us. Maybe we could start again with some clarity for folks about what Courage and Encourage are.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. So Courage is the Catholic support group for people who experience same-sex attraction and who have made a decision to live in conformity with the Catholic teachings on same-sex attraction. So it's a really helpful group. There are groups all internationally, all around the globe now. And so that's the Courage group. And then as an umbrella group, it provides also a support group for people who are friends, family, parents of people who experience same-sex attraction and are living out the lifestyle. So we also have various local chapters, and I happen to, as you said, moderate a chapter in the Bay Area.
Again, 888-318-7884. You are welcome to call and speak with our guest, Rylene Simpson. I imagine a new person comes in and they don't know what to expect. What's that, the new parent or sibling or grandparent coming in to an Encourage meeting? What questions do they come with and what do they find?
Yeah. So when we meet somebody new, they are usually or frequently in the state of shock because generally their child has come out to them and they weren't expecting that. And they don't know the quote. I would put it in quotes. They don't know what to do about it. Right.
Yeah.
And generally they're not finding support, very much support within their own family frequently. And certainly within their communities. So they come to us looking for help. And what they find is at least a place where they can talk about the situation in their family, a place where they can get advice, mostly from other parents in the same situation, about how to keep a connection between themselves and their kids, despite the, despite the conflict that the that the situation comes with. So they come looking for support in that way. And then we meet either virtually lately or in person. And we basically have a meeting that's structured around sharing, asking for help, asking for prayer. It's always oriented to prayer. We start and end with prayer, of course. And then we talk about specific situations. You know, my son is coming home for Christmas and he wants to bring his friend and they want to stay at our house. And what do we do? Mm-hmm. My daughter's getting married to her same-sex partner. And how do we tell them that we're not coming, or should we come or should we not come? All of those are types of questions that we tackle in the context of a meeting.
Again, 888-318-7884. Rylene Simpson is our guest. Your calls are very welcome. 888-318-7884. I have found, I wonder if you have this same impression, whenever Christianity and anything having to do with same-sex attraction are discussed in secular media, they seem to want to put a great deal of attention on what might be called conversion therapies and those kinds of things, as if that's the only thing Christians can think to do in response to a person with same-sex attraction. But it doesn't sound like you're interested in that at all.
Yeah, that's really not part of the that's not part of the package in the Courage groups. The Courage groups are oriented to supporting your spiritual life, your relationship with God, supporting chastity, because people in Courage have basically committed to chastity, living a chaste life. And but I think that strikes me as a little bit of part of a larger misidentification problem that happens. If you think about, a lot of times animosity towards Catholicism seems to be related to an impression that people have gotten about through televangelism.
Yeah.
And kind of Christian, non-denominational Christianity, or just other like Bible only Christianity and those kinds of things. And all of that seems to stick to the Catholic Church when very little of it applies, right? So I've never heard of a group in the Catholic Church ever that was doing any kind of reversion therapy or anything like that. We're not therapists. That's not our job. We're here to feed the spirit, right?
Right.
And so I've never heard of that in the Catholic Church. I don't know of anybody who's ever participated in anything like that. So, but there certainly were groups that purport to be able to help somebody convert, and I think that's something separate from us. And I'm not saying it can't happen either. I mean, I think that there is,
no,
God can do anything,
sure,
right? But
yeah,
it's not really our approach.
No, but I guess the character is that you Christians, you think pray the gay away or something like that. That's not a really Christian approach to another human being.
Right, right. And so I like the way you say that, another human being, because it's the individual person that you're working with and you're dealing with. And so, everybody's got their own story. Everybody wants to be heard, and everybody just wants to be dealt with in accordance with their human dignity, right?
Yeah, yeah. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, the number. We're talking about accompanying those with same-sex attraction this hour with our guest, Rylene Simpson. If you want to know more about Courage, you can go to CourageRC.org. I mentioned that film before, and maybe you're not familiar with that film. You should. It's a beautiful film, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, and not just because Rylene is one of the stars of that film. EverlastingHills.org. I mean, not because she's one of the stars, but not just because she's one of the stars. EverlastingHills.org is where you can find it. So CourageRC.org or EverlastingHills.org. Check them out. Rylene, if a person goes to Courage, if you could sum up, well, what's the mission there? What are you trying to do? Like, what are you going to do to me if I'm, if I go to Courage? What's going to happen there? What is it?
Yeah. Okay. So if you go to a Courage meeting, you're going to be sitting around in a circle, just like if you go to any other kind of support group meeting.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you'll probably read some guidelines up front about not talking over other people and all those other kind of things. And then we start with prayer, and then the same kind of format. We share what's been going on in our lives. And I think it's surprising to people the first time they come. I guess they think it's going to all be about how to avoid sex,
uh-huh.
things like that, right? But what it really is what the heck is going on in your life? You're sharing about the stresses that you're encountering in your day-to-day life, and you're sharing about family relationships and relationships and friendship. And then it's also about building same-sex friendships that are healthy, because that's a big key to living life. We have to have friendships, and those friendships with the same sex are very important.
Right. You know, the thing is, who has healthy relationships anymore, though? I mean, the whole kind of world has, in many ways, at least if the media is to be believed, and it's not, of course, to be entirely believed, but there's a way in which, you know, even young people, they don't know how to relate to one another. There's a very unchaste culture, and everybody needs chaste friendships.
Everybody does need chaste friendships. I agree with you. And healthy friendships. And it's, I think it's hard to do. And it's, I feel very sorry for the youngest generation. It's so digital. Everything's, you know, on your phone. We're all on our phone all the time. Even I find myself in situations where I have to wake up for a second and say, put that phone down and pay attention to whatever's going on. There's so much stimulus coming at you from every direction. All this news and 24-hour-a-day news and, you know, Facebook feeds and all of the other snap things and stuff that they're involved in.
Snap things. That sounds like something. I think you might have made that up, but yeah, okay.
A snap thing. And the face chat.
Right. Yeah. That it's hard to have a human relationship.
It's hard to have a human relationship, and then, you know, the bullying that goes on for young kids and stuff. It's very sad. And so it's, and then also the digital is so flashy. It attracts us away from what's going on right in front of us. And when there's real people in the room, if you're not interacting with them on a normal basis every day, reacting with real people, talking to them, having conversations, learning those skills, then, you know, it becomes tough for somebody to even make eye contact to start a conversation. Those skills aren't built. So in some ways, it's a very, very, it's a stressful world for kids out there.
888-318-7884, the number. We've got some calls from parents and other relatives coming up. If you have a question about the Catholic Church, same-sex attraction, what the teaching is, and also what's available for those experiencing same-sex attraction, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Rylene Simpson is our guest. I have to take our first break. When we come back, we'll go right to calls.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vashers, president of Annunciation Radio. The scripture says, when the word of God goes out, it doesn't return void, but accomplishes that for which it was sent. We regularly hear from individuals whose lives have been dramatically changed as a result of listening to Catholic Radio. Tell a family member, tell a friend, tell the whole world. Change your station, and it'll change your life.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. The lines get busy a lot of times when we have this topic, and we have Rylene as a guest, so you are welcome to get in the queue. We have a few lines open, 888-318-7884. We're talking about same-sex attraction, and we're talking about that from a Catholic perspective with Rylene Simpson, who's very, very able to do that, having returned to the full practice of the Catholic faith in 2009 after many years in a same-sex relationship, now a member of Courage and a moderator of Encourage and a star of a movie called Desire of the Everlasting Hills, and ready to talk to you. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. As I said, there's lots of calls, so I am going to go right to the phones. That's okay with you, Rylene, or did you have something else you had to say before we go to the phones?
Nope, sounds good.
All right, let's start with Tara. in Nebraska, listening on Encounter Radio. Tara, we're very happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Hi. I have a daughter who is 27, and she recently came out, and it's been really tough for me because she's never shown any signs. But my main question is, if God creates you and knows who you are before you're even born, but yet being gay is a sin, how exactly does that work? Why would he make you that way? Does that make sense?
Okay, yes. I understand the question. Very clear question. Thank you. So there's an assumption that is underlying your question, though, and I think that's one that we have to push back on, and that is that God made me this way. We don't have any idea how the phenomenon happens, or the identification happens where someone is gay. And I think if you look at the catechism says we don't have a solid handle on the origin of homosexual tendencies or homosexuality. And it's very clear that it says despite that, we have to, everybody who experiences homosexuality must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. And so that's, as Christians, that's our duty, to accept people with the attitudes of love. Essentially, those are the key elements of love, right? And but the whole culture is pushing this narrative, and I believed it myself. Believe me, for 25 years, I thought, yeah, I was born this way. I have this uncle, I have this aunt, never married, lived with a woman, you know, all that stuff. So it must be genetic. There's never been any proof of that. But whether there's proof of that or not, people are born with all kinds of, even if it was true. So let's just say, okay, assuming that were true, which we'd really, I don't buy into, and I don't think you should, but people are born with all kinds of deficiencies, weaknesses. You know, I had a cousin who was born with a heart, you know, like a valve that wasn't right? So she had to have heart surgery. Well, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to put that on the same par as being gay, but at the same time, we're not born perfect, right? So even if you were born that way and God made you that way, I mean, even if you're born that way, that doesn't mean God made you that way. It's a defect that was caused by original sin. For that, you know, that's how health defects happen even, right? We live in a fallen world, and, you know, nothing is perfect anymore the way it was in the garden. So I think that just reconsider this idea that God made you the way you were born, right? I mean, we wouldn't say that about anything else. And then, so that takes God out of the equation of having created somebody in a situation that they have to sin, okay? And the second thing is that we all have all kinds of temptations in our lives. And even temptations against chastity, we all know we're either single or married, or and we're all tempted by people that we see, people that we know, people that we have friendships with. You know, eventually people encounter attractions to people they're not married to. It happens all the time. And so so it's no different for you as a married woman and a mother of your child and children, to have to resist temptation towards other men that you find attractive, than it is for somebody who identifies as gay, resisting the temptation to act on that.
Tara, what do you think?
Does that make sense?
Well, I guess for me, I mean, I've always been taught that, you know, yes, God has a plan for you before you were conceived, before you were born. And so I guess I just assumed, which I probably shouldn't, but I've always just assumed that you are the person that God intended you to be in his image, I guess. So that's where my confusion always came in, because, you know, and from my understanding, and I don't know the Bible inside and out, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do believe there is a God. And
yes,
if being gay is a sin, you know, that's where I was totally confused on, well, if it is a sin and he makes you who you are, you know, the person that you are, then why would it be a sin, or why would he make you that way? So, but she answered it. I mean, that's, I get it. So
I have a little further clarification for you, though, too. So a couple different ways that we have to think about these things. One is, being gay is not the sin. Like, and, you know, I'm using the common terminology, we encourage people to use people who experience same-sex attraction, because it is more about attraction than your identity being gay. But identifying as gay, or that is not the sinfulness. Nobody's sinful in thoughts that they have, attractions that they have. Sin only happens in these cases based on your actions and how you deal with that. So, so being gay is not a sin. That's number one. Number two, if we were born the way God wanted us to be, we wouldn't even need baptism, right?
Yeah.
If we were born in that perfect original state, we wouldn't need to be baptized. We wouldn't need the sacraments, right? We're born in a state that that we have, or we have that lacking of original grace, and so we're born in the state that we need all of the sacraments, and we need help, and we're meant to. When we're born, think about babies when they're born. They're really I love babies, so this is going to sound terrible, but they're really crying, selfish, demanding little people, right? They're
like radio hosts.
I've heard, but I haven't seen it in person. But so, you know, we're born in a state, and our job through our life is to grow up and learn to deal with other people and mature in our responses to our environment and circumstances. And that whole process of our whole life is developing us as people. And hopefully, if we're accepting of the graces that are put in our lives, developing us towards perfection, right? Towards the perfection that we're called to. And when I say that, like spiritual perfection in relationship with God, we don't really start out that way. We start out pretty messy. But our whole life journey is to get towards that perfection that God wants us to be.
Tara, thank you so much for the call. I think we have a book that you might be interested in by our own Trent Horn. It's called Made This Way, and it covers some of this ground that you and Rileen have been. Oh, look at that. She's holding it up right there. You got it right in front of you.
I love this book. I love it.
So we'll send you that if you'd like. You just hang on. And if you don't want it, we'll send you my book. But I'm just kidding. But just hang on, and we'll send that to you if you like. Made This Way, a very, very fine book from Catholic Answers Press. I am going to move on, however, because I'm realizing we're going to get to everybody. Charlie in Texas, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM satellite radio. You are up next, Charlie. Thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rileen Simpson.
Well, thank you for taking my call. My question really stems from the Bible, where, Christ said, through me to my Father. And I know that's not an exact quote.
But gets at the idea. You know,
yes, sir. So the question really is, how do you balance what it was taught and what Christ taught and what is documented pretty specifically in the Bible against, you know, modern day sexuality. When, you know, I heard a fantastic sermon by a lay person, senior lay person that, let's see, Cowboy Church of Brennan, Texas. And what he said is, if your boyfriend, you're a young lady, a young man, and your boyfriend is asking you to do things you know are not biblical, lose him, because God will provide, and it's urgent for your life in the afterlife.
Charlie, I got to get you an answer from Rylene after the break because the music started playing. But if you hang on, we'll get you an answer right after this.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Tomorrow on More to Life, dealing with deception.
Are you struggling to heal from the hurt caused by lies or betrayal? We'll help you rebuild trust.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Charlie in Texas is on the line listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio with a question for our guest, Rylene Simpson. We're talking about same-sex attraction from a Catholic perspective with Rylene. Charlie, you can re-sum up your question if you want, but what I'm gathering from you is how do we hold fast to the teachings of Christ on chastity and other aspects of sexuality? But also respond to the modern kind of, I don't know what you would call it, the kind of sexual...
Ethos.
All right. Am I in the ballpark there, Charlie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Rylene?
Yeah, well, thank you for your question, Charlie. I really, I appreciate it very much. And I like the phrase that you used, modern sexuality, because for one thing... this is not just about gay people, right? This is a broad category of sin that lots of people are participating in. People are breaking marriage vows. There are infidelities. There are things even that happen inside of a married relationship that are sinful. And so this is not a problem limited to people experiencing same-sex attractions. It's our ethos of modern sexuality. So I really like that you said that. But I think that we have to, and so there are things that are forbidden, right, by our Lord. But he laid down the model for what is proper between as it regards sexual practice, and that's a man and a woman. In the beginning, it wasn't so, right? It was one man, one woman, and that's what Jesus says very clearly. But the other side of the coin is that in Jesus's life here on earth, in those 3 years, what was he accused of by the Pharisees? You are eating with sinners. Look at those tax collectors, yeah. Right? Look at those prostitutes, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's very important in all of our relationships that we don't reject people who are behaving sinfully. We are rejecting the idea that nobody's hurt by that sin. You know, we're rejecting that the sin itself, but we're not rejecting those people. And if those people are ever going to experience conversion of heart, they have to have a model to base it on. And so it's our duty as Christians, Catholic Christians, to provide that model in our own lives. And that means a couple things. It means cleaning up our own act personally in regard to all of the sexual things that we might be engaged in, whether it's watching movies inappropriately or, you know, accessing pornography or whatever it might be. You know, there's so much of that going on. And we have to take this idea of the use of another person out of our vocabulary, and we have to put our own houses in order, and then we have to behave in love towards other people. Sinners and I was going to say sinners and non-sinners alike, but who the heck are non-sinners?
Mary and Jesus.
Mary and Jesus. That's about what we've got. That's it.
Charlie, what do you think?
I think she's hit it on the head very well. You know, and if you think about it in a much more global perspective, if everybody looked at each other in that respect and through the lens, if you will, of the Lord, you know, we would recognize that we're all sinners, and, you know, my sin versus your sin doesn't matter. It's the fact that we have, you know, we have chosen, or we have sinned in a way, either by persuasion or implication, and we can do something about that next time. And the next time is what matters in order to gain forgiveness and success and eternal life.
Amen.
God bless you, Charlie. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I don't know if it's because it's Monday or it's the topic, but several calls dropped. So we got, as I'm taking our next call, if you would like to call and ask your question about same-sex attraction, if you'd like to get a Catholic perspective on that from Rylene Simpson, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's go to Lisa in Los Angeles, also listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Lisa, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rylene. Hi, Lisa. I know you're there.
Hello?
Oh, hello! Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Hi.
You're on the air, Lisa.
I didn't really have a question. I'm just trying to understand. She actually said that homosexuality, being gay, wasn't a sin. I think, didn't she say that?
That's what I heard, yes.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out how can you say that when the scripture... if you read the scripture, Leviticus and Romans, well, Leviticus 20:13, do not lay with a man with a man, woman with a woman.
Right.
And also Romans 1:26-27.
Right.
It says God gave them over to their
sinful pleasures,
dishonorable passions.
Sure,
and
yeah.
And it's like it's unnatural. It's unnatural, so I don't understand how she can... I mean, you have a public forum that you're using, and you're saying things that are incorrect biblically.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let...
Because you're justifying your own, you know...
Well, Lisa...
Because you want to do what you want to do is basically what people do. They justify their own sin, and then they try to...
Lisa, I'm just going to interrupt you for a quick sec because the Bible is extremely important to us. And so we do not want to contradict the word of God at all. I want Rylene to take a shot at explaining to you why we say what we say, and then I will come back to you. I'm going to let you have a little conversation, but let's let Rylene explain it to you.
Yeah. So, and actually, I'm very glad for this call because it gives me a chance to make a distinction that I think, again, is very important. The person is not the problem. The activities are the problem. So it's the difference between being a homosexual and doing a homosexual act, right? So people have temptations all the time. Temptations in themselves are not sinful. So if I look at that, if I look at that cream puff and I know I shouldn't have it because I'm trying to lose weight, but I want it, okay, that's a temptation. It doesn't become sinful or an act of gluttony until eating my proper meal and then stuff myself with that cream puff. When I stuff myself with that cream puff when I'm not hungry and don't need it anymore, that's when it becomes a sin. But the wanting for it and the thinking about, oh, how sweet that would taste, that itself is just a temptation. And so we're trying, and so people experience temptations, and people experience a temptation or an attraction to a person of the same sex unless they act on it. So we're making a distinction, homosexuality versus homosexual acts, and which is the language, you know, that's used in the catechism. So the person is not, the condition is not the problem. The condition is really just a series of temptations. It's when we don't resist the temptation and act on it. Those acts are the problem. And I think if you go back to the biblical text that you cited, I think you read it or said it, people who lie with another person of the same sex. So it's that activity that's the problem, right? Do you see the distinction, Lisa?
I do, but also in Matthew 5:28, if you could read that.
Oh.
Now she's got to get... Okay. Yeah, you get your Bible open. I don't have my Bible open, but I can find it if you want.
Well, I have an app, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in the heart. So, I mean, that's not pertaining to the homosexuality part, but it's also saying that the first sins are created in the heart.
Oh, without question.
Right,
okay.
And you're right on target. That reading is right on target. It's looking at them lustfully. It's as soon as you allow the lust to enter, that's when you're allowed to look. A man is allowed to look at a woman, right? But when he looks at a woman as someone that he can use for his sexual gratification, then that's the problem. That's the sin right there. Right? It's the looking with lust. It's just not looking. It's the looking with lust. I think we're saying the same thing. We're with you.
Well, it says you already committed, you know, the sin because it's in the heart. But I just, I'll listen a little more to what everyone is saying because I'm open to learn. I mean, most important, that's what we're all trying to do is learn how to maneuver in this world as best as we can as Christians and to follow the words of God.
So. Praise God, Lisa. You are right on. And I appreciate your faithfulness to the word of God. But I do think that the key kind of distinction is that the temptation is not a sin. It's the acting on the temptation. Even if the only act is to say, imagine the other person in a sexual situation, to allow yourself to lust after the other person, even if it's just in the heart, when we give in to temptation, that's the sin. But you can be tempted all day long and not give in, and none of those temptations are a sin.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I don't know, Cy, do we have a minute for me to just read paragraph 2357 on the catechism, or is that not?
No, we have all the minutes you want. You're Rylene Simpson. What am I going to do, say no to you? You're like a big movie star. Go ahead. Read it.
Oh, my gosh, with the movie star. Oh, stop with the movie star. Okay. So this is paragraph 2357. Now, I'd like to put it in context because paragraph 23. 57 in the Catechism comes under the section of the Catechism called Life in Christ, right? So this is, it's about our life in Christ overall, one of aspect of which is our sexual, our sexuality, our sexual person. And so it's in the same section in the context with, you know, the vocation to chastity, the integrity of the person, what is chastity, the aspects of self-mastery, the gift of self, you know, and then all of the offenses against which homosexual behavior is only one. So this is 2357. Homosexuality refers to relations between men or between women who experience an exclusive or predominant sexual attraction towards persons of the same sex. It has a great variety of forms through the centuries and in different cultures. Its psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. Basing itself on sacred scripture, which presents homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity, there's the word that always gets people up in arms, depravity. Tradition has always declared that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. They are contrary to the natural law. They close the sexual act to the gift of life. They do not proceed from a genuine, affective, and sexual complementarity. Under no circumstances can they be approved. So that's where the Catholic Church stands on this. But at the same time, people who experience these things are not they haven't given up their human dignity that God endowed them with, right? None of us, we're all still human beings made in the image and likeness of God. So people who experience these feelings have to be treated with respect, dignity, compassion, sensitivity.
Lisa, I do have to go to the break now, so I'm going to say thank you. If you would like a copy of our, we have a little booklet called 20 Answers Homosexuality. If you would like it, we'll send it to you. Just give your address to Sarah, who's on the phones, and we'll send it off to you. But what a wonderful opportunity to have a great conversation, Lisa. I am very, very grateful for your call. There's still some lines open, 888-318-7884. So I'm going to take this break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation about the Catholic view of same-sex attraction. Maybe you are a person living with same-sex attraction yourself, or you have a child who has come out to you as gay, or you're, whatever it is. If you'd like to have some good Catholic conversation about that with somebody who really knows your stuff, Rylene Simpson is here, and the number is 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Rylene Simpson. We're talking about same-sex attraction. If you have a question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Next hour, Jason Everett will be here, and we're going to talk with Jason about gender issues, all the gender stuff that's going on. He's been working in the chastity field for a long, long time, and he has magnificent insights because he also spends a lot of time with young people, and young people are hurting right now and in need of a lot of love and support. In the face of these things, like this new kind of wave of transgender ideology. Maybe that's the right word. I don't know. Before I go back to the phones for Rylene Simpson, however, I do want to remind you that the 20 Answers Challenge is on all throughout January. Maybe you want to read all the 20 Answers books this year in the year 2022. Is that real? 2022? It still doesn't feel real. 47 books in the 20 Answers collection on every, well, you just heard me give one away on homosexuality, but one's on Jesus and Mary and the sacraments and prayer and Jehovah's Witnesses and divorce and just all these topics that you would want to know from a Catholic perspective. You get a full Catholic education if you read all 47. They're just a little more than a buck each right now at shop.catholic.com when you buy the whole 47 together, and you get free shipping when you buy all 47 together. Just put in the promo code FREESHIP22, FREESHIP22 at shop.catholic.com. The number again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. All of a sudden, the lines all lit up again. That usually happens when there's like 8 minutes left. So we'll go to Chris in Ohio. I'm going to go right now, just letting you know, to line two. Scoo-doo-doo. I have to wait for a little light to light up. How you been, Rylene? Okay. It's almost, there we go. It lit up. Chris in Ohio, you there with us?
Hey, yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Okay. Well, I'm a 42-year-old man, and I was listening to, I was flipping around, heard on to the homosexuality comment. I am actually a gay man in Ohio. Grew up Catholic, still consider myself Catholic, still going to church all the time. And I found myself, from everything that I was always told in Catholic school, that homosexuality is wrong and it's a sin. I found myself growing up hating myself because it was something that I could not change about myself. And it turned me very bitter for a while there because I felt completely unloved on this one because of what we were telling us as a kid, that it wasn't until I got into college and started going to different Catholic churches and talking to the priest and being completely open to myself. But isn't it more of a sin to basically lie to yourself, though, and not be who you really are?
Thank you for that question, Chris, and I'm glad you called in. So I think the idea that we would hold in tension between us would be the idea that this is who you are. And I think that my personal evidence for that is that I have seen many people's feelings change over time. There are, I know many people now being involved in Courage who maybe had some experience in the gay life, or spent many years in the gay life, and then just, you know, made a decision to walk away from that. And then over time, those attractions left them. I happen to be one of those people. I was a lesbian for 25 years. I had a partner. I had a partner for all that time. We lived together. We were out. We were, you know, the model lesbian couple, stable, happy, all of that. And, but your feelings can change. And I think that this is, you know, the idea of being gay, it's kind of an amorphous, there's an amorphous definition. If you go Google it on Google, that's where you Google things, I guess.
Go Google it on Google. Yeah, all right.
You know, lots of people define gay different ways, but the one thing I would say about it is it's to take your sexual attractions and make that the definition of who you are is an extremely limiting definition of who you are. I mean, for me, that's like, you know, this is so narrow a definition of who I am. But for whatever reason, the culture seems to impose this on us that this is who you are, and we just absorb that. I'm not my feelings. My feelings are something that happen. something I experience, but I'm not the sum and total of my feelings. Sometimes my feelings can be very full of rage, anger. Sometimes they can be lustful. Sometimes, you know, but I'm not that bundle of feelings. And attractions to people, same sex or otherwise, are just more experiences in that list of feelings. So I think the thing that I would question is the identity part of it. And if you really think about the purpose of sexuality and look at the biological facts behind what sexuality is for, there isn't a place for same-sex and acting out of a same-sex attractions. In biology, it doesn't serve a purpose. And so even if we didn't believe in God, which we do, you do, I do, we're Catholic, but if you didn't believe in his design, you could still look at the biology and say, this doesn't fit together, right?
Well, my question then on top of that one would be, if you would have, let's say you have a female that is not able to reproduce, should she be a spinster then for the rest of her life? Because she's not being able to fulfill her biological needs.
Okay, so I think that there's a difference between what a person's capacity is and what their actual capability is. So a capacity, every woman is capacitated for giving human life by being a female, and every man is capacitated to completing that. And the fact that a man has half of the human reproductive system and a woman has the other half of the reproductive system kind of says that they can go together. I don't think the argument that if someone happens to have a physical anomaly that prevents them from actually conceiving, that doesn't take away their femininity or masculinity, right? We don't judge people that way. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I think the thing I would love to address with you is kind of that self-hate. It's because if you think, I don't know if you were listening when Lisa was on, but the church is so careful about its wording of things, but people, we don't always hear what's being said. So the church looks at you and says, child of God. Mm-hmm. We love you. You are a child of God. God has great things in store for you. God has wants to prosper you. He loves you. We love you. Same would be true of somebody who is thinking about evading his taxes, right? Child of God. We love him. Mm-hmm. Same thing is true about, you know, all the rest of the sin. And so, we're trying to make the distinction very carefully. You have human dignity in your humanity that God gave you because you're made in the image and likeness of God, and nobody can take that away from you. But what we hear, especially, I know I was very sensitive as a child. I don't know if you experienced this, but I was very sensitive, and I heard things. It was almost like I was looking for somebody to hurt my feelings. And so I heard things that were said in church and in school that, you know, offended me, but that wasn't really what they were saying. So we're saying we love you, and we're saying what's best for you is possibly not acting out on those attractions. So sorry, I ran right up to the end. Sorry.
Yeah, and I wish we could.
Chris, we love you.
And we do indeed, Chris, and we're so grateful for the call. And I'm just looking at, we have every line full, and we could do another hour easily. So really, we need to have Riley on.
Jason Everett.
Yeah, we'll pick on Jason Everett, but you got to come back soon, like really soon. Because there's obviously a need for this. We'll talk with Jason Everett right after this. You can stay on the line and ask Jason your questions if you want. We're going to talk about gender issues with Jason Everett right after this. Rylene Simpson, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Right back.
Let's do it again.